Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's get to our next guest for in-place living specialist disability accommodation designed for you. Shane Mumford's his name. Mummy, thanks for your time.
No, thanks for having me on, guys.
You would have watched the footy last night, I'm sure. What did you make between a genuine ruck battle between Gawn and Grundy? You would have enjoyed that.
I did. I kind of expected Grundy to be back to his best this year, and he didn't let us down, did he?
Yeah. What makes a good ruckman these days? Ooh, Mummy? Yeah. I mean, the game changes every year. How have you seen the role develop? There's different types, and the game caters for most. But what's important now with their craft?
Well, you certainly wouldn't be able to play the way that I used to. That's for sure.
Well, you just finished only a year or so ago.
Yeah, I reckon. But the way I used to try and shepherd people and bump people these days, I'd be playing a game and then missing probably two or three. It's very dangerous now with any contact of the head, and you're gone for weeks. But Grundy's work, like the centre bounce stuff we saw last night, that's all due to the new rule that's come in about there's no blocking now in centre bounce. As long as you contest the ball, you can actually have a straight arm out and stop your opponent from getting to the ball. So it's one that I expect to see happen quite a lot this year. There won't be as much jumping in the centre bounce as what there used to be.
So, Mummy, that's a big difference. That's a big shift for our game. Any particular ruckman? I mean, we're all talking about advantaging Max Gawn, but you're studying the competition. Any other ruckman that you think would be able to capitalise on this?
I think any of your bigger, taller guys can certainly use it to their advantage. I'll be training big Braden Pruce up to use it as much as possible, because I think it is such a weapon having that size and strength. And if you're able to get across the line early and hold your opponent out and stop them jumping, why wouldn't you?
Now, the value of a hit out. Now, we've been arguing this, right? We've been arguing this for a long time. You ruckman, I think, get away with murder, and have been stealing cash money for a long, long time. The value of a hit out. Can you, for the layman out there, and include me in that, what are we saying with these ruckmen? Is the hit out still valuable?
I believe it is. But it's not so much a hit out, it's more a hit out to advantage. So there's no point in you getting a hit out and hitting it straight down the opposition throat. So the main stat that I look at is your actual hit out to advantage rate, percentage that do go to your direct advantage of your teammate.
Mm. Is that information you're feeding to your ruck in game as well?
Sorry, I missed the first.
Is that the information that you're feeding to your ruckman on game day? Or, I mean, some players don't like stats being fed to them on game day. It's more a post-game review. But what sort of info are you feeding to your rucks on game day?
I guess for mine, it's I just see things throughout the game that I might be able to change or give him a different way of looking at it. So when Briggsy will come off, I'll have the iPad there with me. And if there's a couple of stoppages in a row that he's lost, I give him the information, and obviously give him a couple of ideas of how he could do it a little bit differently to give himself a better chance of winning it.
What about the second ruckman, Cornsy? Because you've been talking about Owens going in as the second ruckman with the potential of getting injured or hurt or banged up.
Yeah,
is there a different instruction for the second ruckman? You know, Briggsy's easy for you, I think, Mummy, but the next cab off the rank that goes in.
So we've trialled Aaron Cadman in there the last sort of few weeks, and I've been pleasantly surprised with how well he's adapted to the role. But obviously it's a completely different style of rucking, so for him he's got to stay more active and get in behind the opposition, whereas Briggs is just this big brute that can throw anyone out of the way from any position. So it's definitely a different way of coaching and a different art to it. But I've been very happy with the way Cads has adapted to the new role.
We have this segment on Fridays called In the Gun, Mummy, and I did put the Giants in the gun for their, I guess, lack of respect on Jordan Dugowie in the prelim final, and I hope he doesn't go to stoppage and just stand on his own. I know there's no tags, I understand that, but have you put some work into him this week? Because last time he played you, he had 13 clearances and single-handedly took you apart.
He certainly did. He was very good in that prelim final. But I'm sure the midfielders, I know you don't like to dwell on the past too much, but when someone does get a hold of you, you certainly want to put your best foot forward on the next time you play him. So I'd like to see, whoever's on him at the time be keeping him right away from it if possible. But obviously being the great player that he is, he's going to find the ball at some point.
Shane Mumford is with us. He's the Giants specialist ruck coach. A bit of talk about the life and existence of an assistant coach, Mummy. I mean, and the lack of investment from the game into that area of the game. I mean, the only ones that have really copped significant pay cuts when everything else is growing and players are getting paid more, as are the executives. How do you see it, and how do you balance your life as an assistant coach?
Well, I guess I'm a little bit different to most assistant coaches because I'm only part-time. So I'm out at the club 3 days a week, whereas the assistant coaches that are, I feel like they're on call 24 hours, 7 days a week sometimes, depending on the head coach that they're working under. So it's, for me, I guess I'm in a very fortunate situation where I'm not needed as much as some of the assistant coaches.
And was that part of the reason that you could have been a full-time assistant coach, but the reasons I explained before, was that one of the reasons you wanted to, do some stuff outside of footy but still keep your toe in the water?
Yeah, I love what I do. I think I've been able to find a really good balance of being able to take the kids to school and sport and these sort of things. I don't have to miss out on too much, which has worked out really well for myself. And obviously the kids having me around more often, I realise just how good it is at the moment.
What else do you do?
At the moment, not a whole lot. I'm doing a little bit of investing and stuff here and there with a few different things. But other than that, I'm a stay-at-home dad and the kids love it.
Nice.
Now, Mummy said to me, I might have the kids tomorrow morning, so they might be a bit noisy. I said, geez, they're taking a risk, those kids, if they want to start playing up. And I can't hear them at all in the background, Mummy. You're a hard man. You're a hard taskmaster.
I've snuck out the back. I think one of the kids is in the front room watching soccer tricks and how to do them on YouTube. The other one's, I'm not sure where he's gone, and my wife's got the one-year-old that's normally screaming at me this time of morning.
What have you seen different this year with GWS in the off-season that could potentially just find that 1% or 2% gap? I mean, the gaps are so small, 1 point in a prelim. What have you seen from this group?
I think our biggest thing this pre-season is the fact that we haven't had to learn a new game plan. We've been able to solely focus on skills and the foundations of our game, whereas we're not completely learning a new system. Under Kingers this year, it's all been, let's just continue to hone our skills and get ourselves right this year. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see how we go Saturday night.
If Cornsey wins his fight, if Cornsey wins his bout against Nathan Brown, and as soon as you've got so much spare time on your hands, Mummy, by the sounds of things, is there any...
45 kilos on Cornsey.
It's not about that. It's about giving the people what they want.
Oh, 100% I'll do it. Sign me up now.
You do it for free. look out.
Well, there's a few people that wouldn't mind jumping in.
Yeah, I got you.
I want you, Mummy. I want Mummy in there.
They're lining up outside the studio as we speak. Mummy. Hey, earlier on in the program, we did a little talk-back topic about the best player in the game that no one talks about. Now, from your experience dealing with these players at the Giants, who's someone a little bit off-Broadway? So we're not talking about Toby Green. That's perhaps we don't speak about enough that you rate really highly internally.
We've probably got a few of them, but the one that I guess he's probably been spoken about a bit more now, but would be Connor Iden. I find him down back to just be this brick wall. That him combined with Jack Buckley and Sam Taylor, it's a I know most forward lines wouldn't sleep the night before coming up against them three.
Yeah, that's a good one. And there's a nice buzz around this game. The Giants have spoken a reasonable game about their dislike of Collingwood, and that's come from Dave Matthews, and Collingwood have responded. It is what makes great games and great rivalries. You feel like you're embracing that as a side now?
Oh, 100%. I think it's the more you can build these sort of things up and get the fans involved and wanting to come along. I know it's going to be a sellout there Saturday night, so... both clubs have certainly done well in promoting the game, and now it's just up to the players to get the job done.
Mm. All right, mate. Well, good luck. It's yes. The game of opening round. We're enjoying the work of your man, Briggsy, who feels like he's come from nowhere to be sort of a top five ruckman in the game now, and that is in part due to your influence, mate. Appreciate your time.
No, thanks for having me on. Cheers,
Lloyd. Start training up, mummy. Get yourself ready.
Was around forever, but a competitive animal he was, and you hated playing against him, and you certainly hated jumping the boxing ring with him, Kingy, so don't give him any ideas, please.
No.
In-place living, specialist disability accommodation, supporting independence, choice and control, inplaceliving.com.au. Now, you're fascinated by Finney, who's back tonight.
Yes, I am. Look, and he'll come back with a bang. He's not just going to leak in and just sort of, you know, warm the chair up for a couple of weeks.
He wouldn't want to go soft, you know. I've heard this and I've heard the replay. So if he comes back and he's a little bit warmer and he's a bit kind,
he'd
want to come back with a bang.
No, he'll come back with a bang. I'll put a challenge out there on the old temper text. I want to just get an idea on what people think will be Finney's first take tonight. When he launches 4 minutes after the game, what's his first crack? What's he first going after? I'll find a prize. If they can nail that, I'll ring Michael Gorn from Callaway and get him a nice new smoke driver if they can nail it. They have to absolutely nail it though, Gornsey.
Is that one of those AI ones with the seven different sweet spots or what?
There is only mate. If you make contact with this ball, you're guaranteed 250.
Not me. I can't even think of it.
Guaranteed, mate. Even you.
Can I have a go? And can I go in the running for the Cowboys?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Finney's first crack tonight will be at Harry Mackay. That's where he's going to go.
Well, you can be more specific. Like, give me. You can't say Harry Mackay.
He's going to go at Harry Mackay's competitiveness, his contract, his wage, his goal kicking. I mean, it's going to be a whole heap of things he's going to go for. That's where his attention is going to go first tonight off the back of the game.
I'm going to put myself in my own competition.
All right, what is it?
Finney's going to be blown away by how many ads he has to take tonight. Back after this break for another break.
And then another break.
Hey, can we be serious for one sec? Yeah. The AFL have got a problem with the cost of living in Sydney, and it's a difficult one to talk about because everyone gets emotional about the old Kohler and what it
they
did
do.
To
yeah.
effectively Lance Franklin's. I think the coaching panels and the staff are a different discussion. Why can't the AFL, in my opinion, I think the AFL should be go into the property business and have assistant coaches have the ability to stay as part of their package. To stay at AFL housing, if you like, for want of a better term, and you could do that around the nation, so you don't have a gap between Sydney and Melbourne, you don't have a gap between Adelaide and Melbourne, and if they don't take up that package, then it just becomes part of their financial allowance.
Housing for assistant coaches, then the AFL get the capital growth of the housing.
They get the lot. We've got $1 billion dollars to spend. Let's get some housing. So. They don't have a disadvantage. Look, up there, it is a significant problem. It really is. And I think it's easy to just gloss over it. It's hard to get coaches from interstate to go to Sydney because of the cost of living. And then it's hard to satisfy them. Craig Jennings is getting around in a camper van scenario. Now, that's by choice. I understand that. But the others are having to live miles away. It's just an imposture you don't need. I just wonder whether you could do the old McDonald's approach. And get into property because it's going to be a no-brainer anyway.
Nice, innovative suggestion for you. Have you ever seen the trend online where it says something like, I was this many years old when I found out this? You may not have seen it. So something that you really should have known probably when you're a teenager, but you only found out about it later in life, and you feel a bit stupid for knowing
what
it later in life. So I was 41 years old when I found out that at some or all private schools, the principals live at the school. I could not believe that. I found out that some principals at private schools live on campus in school housing. Yeah. Did you know that?
Well, I went to like a boarding school. They were all there. It was a disaster.
It just got me thinking that when you brought up the housing. But I did not know that. I felt people are looking at me going, yeah, of course they live on campus.
A couple of them
are
lucky to get away with it. We might get them to gather around and get them in the ring.